Clubline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Dr. Drew, board-certified internist, addiction medicine specialist. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, we out on the roads tonight, the freeways?
Yeah.
You know, is it about every... About every 16 days is Quaalude night?
Yeah.
Where there's just a bunch of... They look to me like cows. Just sort of parked out on the freeway. And then the ride over becomes a video game to see how many of them I can get around in order to get to my job. They're nobody to me. I know that if I just jumped into one of their cars and cracked their head open, it was just a bunch of wires and stuff. They're not human beings. They're not going anywhere. They have no families. They're not coming from anywhere. They're not going anywhere. I just think they're part of my fantasy slash reality world.
Yeah.
That there's some master puppeteer up in the clouds who says, get out there, Carolla's going to work, and if he don't see none of you, he may catch on. Is that what's going on?
That is tonight. And you know what's weird about that night also is I'm not always aware first that I'm in traffic or people are being slow. I sense like danger, like something's not right.
Yeah, you know,
like
your spidey sense tingles.
What's going on here? And then I start speeding.
Tonight, just a ton of people out on the road with no particular place to go. Just out taking the car for a walk. And I was basically in traffic all the way out here, although it never stopped and there was never an accident and there were no flares and there were no cops. It was just people on a Sunday night not looking forward to getting back home after being wherever they were.
Yep.
All right. Afro Man is going to be in here tomorrow night. Kevin Smith is going to be in here, big film director, talking about...
why he cut you out of his films.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Isn't it Silent Jay? Wait a minute. Jay and Silent Bob. It is Silent Bob, right? Yeah. I had a nice little part in that film, or at least scene, and I think I heard I was cut out, so we'll get to the bottom of that tomorrow night. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Man Show on tonight.
Nope.
Turn that Man Show on. It's big. I go to Gleason's in New York and do a little boxing. It's a very very special episode. Oh. I want to see that. I haven't seen it yet. Jeremy?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I've been friends with this guy, Jeff. He's like one of my best friends. We've been friends for like a few years now. And I've been with my girlfriend for about 3.5 years now. He's been with his for about 1.5. And we're kind of wanting to ask our girlfriends if they'd like, you know, want to switch.
They'll be just moved by that.
No, no higher compliment can be paid to a lady.
Yeah, they'll be thrilled. How exciting!
Well, like new meat.
How do we go about asking them?
Now, listen. Here, this is the deal with this. It's not really about how. Here, let me use another one of my famous car analogies, which I haven't made up yet. But there, let's say you wanted to sell your car, Drew.
Right, okay.
You'd have a price in your mind,
right?
You know what you wanted to get for it.
Right.
It's not how I go about telling you I'll give you $20,000 or $50,000 for it.
Right.
It's sort of the price,
right?
And this is if these girls are interested in doing this. They're interested in doing it, or they'll do it. It's not about pretty please or how
it's
you...
It's not about selling.
It's how you sell it.
Yeah.
There's some women who'd never do this in a million years, and some women who'd be excited to do it. It's a smaller percentage, albeit, but it's not really about the container it comes in.
Yeah.
Now, if you prime them with a couple of wine coolers, it will probably be a little easier sell. It's not really about how you ask.
Do they want this relationship to go on?
Jeremy,
do you want to break up with your girlfriend?
No, I don't.
You don't care?
No.
Where did you get the idea that she would be into this?
Well, this is just something like me and him discussing.
No doubt. I get that. But where in the hell did you think that a woman would be just hell-bent on this kind of thing?
I don't know. I just kind of...
Well,
I'm going to chalk it up to you being 19.
Do you have any kids?
No.
Do they have any kids?
No.
Good.
We got one on the way.
Oh.
You do?
I do.
Oh, that's the other person who's on the line who we're supposed to magically know who he is?
Yeah.
That's Jeff.
Okay, Jeff. You got one on the way.
So not only are we going to jeopardize the relationship, but we're going to jeopardize the life of an unborn child by exposing her to God knows what.
You're not going to kill a kid.
You can.
No, you're not. Look, that's not the concern. Jeff?
It's not?
Yeah.
Yes. Listen to me, Jeff. You've been with this chick 3.5 years?
No, it's about a year and a half now.
Yeah. Oh, and Jeremy's been with his 3.5.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, you have a child on the way?
I do.
You believe me, if you do this swap-em thing, it'll be something that will haunt the relationship.
Oh, my God.
It'll be something that you argue about and talk about for years to come, all right? You have a kid on the way, don't do it. If you didn't have the kid on the way, I'd say do it because the relationship would then end 6 months later and no one would care. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right, sorry, guys. Look, just get some porn.
Really? We got that.
All right.
Oh, beat yourself. Good. Okay. No kidding.
By the way, this is Daddy.
Yeah.
Well, I want to...
We got that.
I want to say nice. Something. I didn't have my... class reunion, the 20-year class reunion...
What?
...was not mine. Mine's next year. But a lot of my friends were in a class above me.
Did you go?
No, I didn't go. But they all came out back to L.A., a lot of my friends.
Oh, I see. Did they visit?
Yeah, they visited me. Mm. Some stayed with me. And some of them have kids. And I got a friend, Alex. The guy's an attorney. He's one of my only normal friends.
Yeah. He lived on the hill?
Yeah, he lived up the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jewish. So all the Jewish guys lived up on the hill.
I see.
And then the Goyim lived down the hill. But I went out to lunch and breakfast with him and his kid.
Yeah.
Got this beautiful blonde-haired kid. He's probably 5 years old. This kid is like... I really, it's like having a well-trained dog. He's like, thank you, after you, you know. He's not whining and bitching, complaining. He's having, like, no tantrums, you know. I buy him breakfast. He's like, thank you very much. He's smiley. He's polite. And I'm just looking at this little kid, and I thought, we going to have to worry about this kid? No. No. Done. He'll go off to law school or medical school or love his own family somewhere. Don't have to worry about him. Check him off the list. Why? Because he's being raised by two loving, educated, normal people who weren't completely effed up, who had kids when they were, you know, 30, 32, not 19 or 14. And I thought, done. We don't have to worry about this one. And as I always say, what a utopia we would live in if people could do this. But no, we got Jeremy and Jeff knocking one out and then talking about wife swapping. And it's Jeremy's kid, or pardon me, Jeff's kid, who we're going to have to worry about. And believe me, we are. And why, as a society, don't we know it early?
If we do know, why don't we do something about it?
Why don't we just tag them? Okay. That's it, everybody. You want to solve every ill in society? Talk to my buddy Alex. Go look at his kid. If only Alex populated, now we'd have a crappy basketball team. I'll tell you that. We have no sports program. But you could leave your car windows wide open, leave your briefcase on your front seat of your car, and go into your house every night. And on hot nights, leave the front door wide open. Just shut the screen. Probably wouldn't you have to worry about mosquitoes. I don't know why, but I think we'd eradicate them somehow. Autumn?
Yeah. Hi. Yeah,
yes.
I'm a lesbian, and... I just want to know, like how to approach people.
Well, you got to use your tongue, right?
Yeah, well, I just don't really know. I never have came out and said it to anybody.
All right, why don't you call or get involved with the gay and lesbian, like, they usually the youth centers in most cities.
Okay.
Okay, and give them a call and talk to people who have been through what you've been through.
Okay.
Generally, it's about... being certain that the other person is interested in the same things you are.
Yeah.
And having a good supportive network of friends who understand what you're dealing with in case you are rejected or in case it results in some sort of derision. Somebody gets treats you badly.
Yeah.
So you need some friends. You need some people who've been through what you've got.
Have you ever been with a woman?
No.
All right. Most 15-year-olds haven't been with anybody, right?
Yeah. Well, so not our callers. Yeah, they've done anal by
course,
now.
Of course. Listen, that's not being with someone.
It's a good... There's never been a better time to be a lesbian, by the way. Because only now, I would say in this era, if you go back and sort of look at the Earth's calendar, this is the only era where a lesbian woman can actually have sex with straight women who are just sort of, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, look at that. As a lesbian woman, you can have sex with lesbian women and straight women. Dudes won't go for this, by the way. Gay guys, all they get is gay guys and the occasional bi. But a lesbian chick can get a straight 16, 17-year-old chick who's like at camp or, you know, you just float them that, are you uptight line? You're not uptight, are you?
No.
You always wanted to try it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, You can do that now. Yeah. Gay guy can't do that. Gay guy's not going to get away with that, is he?
No.
No. All right, man. What's up? You ever get molested?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
What, huh?
No.
Your dad beat on you?
No.
What turned you lesbian?
I don't know. When I was like 12 years old, and I like never was attracted to boys, and you know.
Okay. You're like out of the box lesbian. I mean, you came that way.
Yeah.
That's fine. All right, so talk about... Now, don't announce it at school. You may get razzed or something.
Yeah, I don't.
Well,
yeah.
You need to go to a place where people go for support. There are gay lesbian youth centers in most cities.
But also...
Wait, give me the book.
I don't know. At 15, do you even want to show your face there?
I should call.
You
me.
Do? Now, look. Let her open the phone book. It's in the front of the phone book.
Right. I should have the referral book there here anyway.
Well, go get it during the commercial.
You can't reach back 3 inches and grab the damn thing?
I hurt my balls yesterday, by the way.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm in pain. I got to talk to you about that. I don't know. What referral book?
I don't see it. What'd you do?
Why are you telling me to get something that's
What'd you do?
I was playing basketball. I thought I strained my lower back, so I kind of went and sat down, the back, sort of hip back.
Yeah.
And that's where it hurts. Like, I threw my lower back out kind of thing. And then in the the next couple hours, it started migrating down to the right nut.
Kidney stone.
Oh.
Yeah.
But playing basketball?
Dehydrating? That's the perfect time. Oh, baby.
To the nut?
To the nut.
Why to the nut?
Because that's the way it was. It moves down towards the uteropelvic junction, uterovesicular junction.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm dropping an egg.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a woman whose egg is moving down.
Dude.
Yeah, but you've said that before.
Yeah.
No, you're never right, though. I got to go to a real doctor.
Have you ever had it checked out?
What, stones? I don't know. How do you get stones? I dehydrated a little bit?
And you're predisposed.
I've never had one before.
Anybody in your family have them?
No. We have a lot of bad stuff. Actually, the Corollas have no health problems. We're just ugly, weak people. Like, you know what we are? We're like some crappy little Japanese car from the late 70s. Like, nothing doesn't work that well, doesn't look that good, nothing good about it, but it never breaks down.
Datsun B210.
Yeah.
That's you.
Like the Honeybee.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like some piece of crap car, the Corollas, but that is cheap.
Strangely.
Strangely. Thank you. That never breaks down. We are the Corollas.
That is
us.
Yeah, but you're having kidney stones now.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Something that starts in the back, like around the hip.
Yeah.
Like here, right? You know, on the other side, but here.
Perfect.
And it feels... Now, why would it initially, though, feel like the backache?
Because as it moves down, if it hung up right there, it would stay back. But as it moves down, it goes towards testing.
All right. We gotta move on.
I mean, there's almost nothing else that will do that.
It feels like the pain is sort of migrating, and now my nut feels like, you know, someone kicks you in the nuts, and there's that sort of numbing pain that kind of comes
visceral pain.
Yeah. It comes in a few minutes later and just sort of hangs around.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little bit of a stomach ache.
You should be just drinking fluids like crazy right now. Not this one. Water.
Okay.
I'm really just go nuts on fluids.
Drew pointed to a large bottle of Smirnoff I keep on the desk. All right, let's go here. Hey, is that man show on?
Sure.
What's going on over there?
Boxing.
No, I'm missing my boxing thing. Isabel.
Hey.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
Adam, I love you. You're a genius.
Thank you. Yes, true. Thank you.
Like one.
Okay, well, I like this guy, and I don't know how to approach him. Like, I've never talked to him, and I've never, like, you know, I've never just, I don't know him, and I don't know how to approach him. Like, I thought about, like, giving him, like, a song or a poem or something. But I don't know how most guys would react to that. Like, half my guy friends are all, you shouldn't give it to him because he'll think you're, a stalker or something. And then, like, my other friends are like, you should do it. It'll, like, flatter him. So,
Basically, a guy will take any sort of overture as flattering. But you needn't go so far. You didn't bother with the poetry because a male will not respond to that in any way. Just a, hey, I think you're cute. We'll do the trick.
Right. Well, here's what it is. For women, when you're judging, you know, when you're thinking about whether to get together with a guy or something, it's like, well, half you know, his looks and his personality and all that, and then sort of half his energy toward me and the way he asked me out
and the
story he told me. For men, it's almost a zero factor.
Yeah.
Zero. I mean, what it is looks, except, how old is he?
I don't know, maybe 19.
At his age, looks are a 10, and the way you ask him out is a 1.
Wait.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's zero.
Zero.
Yeah,
Point one.
All right, point one. But I think many guys do care about sort of like character. Can we put it under that?
Yeah, I mean, they're guys. It's not I don't mean all just physicality, although that's 85% of it. But there's a little vibe thing.
It's like smart, funny, cute.
They'll buy into like a chick's vibe
fun,
or attitude.
Fun
it seems a little sexy or naughty or whatever. Well, fun.
Oh my God!
Well, what's the best way to like approach him?
Well, where do you see him?
Where he works.
Where does he work? What kind of place?
Like a store where a lot of people go to.
Like a retail store?
Yeah.
So it's a store where they sell things?
Yeah.
That people go to?
Yeah.
I think I know which one it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm not going to say. Hey, what are you doing? Living in Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Hey, could you get out of that town and burn it before you leave?
Well, I'm going to move soon, so.
Listen, I drove through Burbank.
Bakersfield. Burbank, too.
Oh, the cops in that wretched Burbank.
It's the judges you like in Burbank.
I drove through Bakersfield last week on my way back from Yosemite, and I closed my eyes the entire ride, and I was driving. So that's how committed I am to hating that Bakersfield. You know what? Just ask him what he's doing. It doesn't have to be anything clever. He knows you, and if he's into you...
He doesn't know me.
He'll be into you. He has not seen you there?
Well, I mean, he's seen me, not like...
He's seen you.
Really. No.
No, he has.
Well, not really.
Hold on a second. How many times have you been in that store?
Well, a few times.
Oh, shut up. Drew, as a 19-year-old dude...
Bad sign. But he may be, he may be doing his job.
No, he's doing his job. But as a 19-year-old guy... You're pretty aware of your environment, especially if there's a cute 17-year-old chick who's in it.
Just about aware as, say, a hungry lion with a gazelle walking around the field in front of him.
Yes.
Yeah,
now,
about like that.
No, he may not put his hand, over his head like a visor and bug his eyeballs out like a wolf on a cartoon. But if he's into her, he'll know who she is.
Yeah, but she thinks she would already know, too, if he's...
Have you ever bought anything from him or talked to him?
No, like, I used to like him last summer, and I saw him, like, I didn't see him for, like, over a year, and I saw him again because he works somewhere else, and no, I really haven't bought anything because he works in the back.
Uh-huh.
He used to work.
All right, why don't you happen to run into him and just say, do you ever get coffee after work, or
something like that. Ballsy.
And if he is even... 10% into it, he'll give you some sort of green light and just keep going. If
Absolutely.
He's not into it,
Absolutely.
Don't push.
Listen, women, please hear me and please hear Drew when we say you'll never offend a guy by the way you ask him out or if you're too forward.
No.
The decision is he into you or isn't he?
Yeah.
And maybe people do that. People must know that on some level and they just describe it that way to save their ego. Like, it's so you don't walk home thinking you're ugly. You go, oh, well, I shouldn't have asked him out that way. But you look, if there's a woman you're attracted to, there's no bad way for her to ask you out.
There's no bad way.
All right.
I mean, think about it. I mean, try to think of a bad way. You can't.
Couldn't do it.
Right.
She could say, you want to get coffee? She could carve it into a hatchet and then put it in the back of my head.
Yeah.
And I'd forgive her immediately. Mike?
Hi.
Hey, you're 19.
Hey.
What's up?
Can't leave him on the show. I love the show.
Thanks.
I've got some bumps on my penis and...
Good times.
I'm pretty sure that they're penile papules.
Are they symmetrical?
Yeah, they do kind of have, I guess...
They go all the way around?
Well, they go all the way around the scrotum, and then...
The scrotum?
Yeah.
Pearly penile papules are not on the scrotum. They're penile, penis.
Well, I have these bumps on my penis. They're light colored, and they're kind of hard.
On your penis or on your scrotum?
It's on both. It's on the underside of the shaft, and it's on the scrotum. And it's been there since before I was sexually active.
I understand, but is it mostly like where the penis joins the scrotum?
Yeah, mostly.
All right, those are something different. They're basically like sebaceous cysts. Those are totally different.
Well, I was wondering, is there any? I mean, I know they're harmless, but
yeah, I don't. This is not pearly penile papules, okay?
Not.
And they are harmless, but I don't know of any procedure to get rid of these because they're pretty big usually.
I heard of something called electrodesiccation.
No, not for this. So that's just taking a little needle with spark with an arc on the end of it and just burning it. Hey, which is the same thing as liquid nitrogen, basically.
Mike?
Yeah?
And my balls feel like they got put in a bench vise.
Oh, I heard about that.
I have little sympathy for you and whatever's going on in your
Yeah, parents. I hope that turns out okay, man.
I do, too, because I tell you, they're hurting right now. It's distracting. You know, it's like people are asking a question like, Here's my mantra. Oh, my balls. Oh, my balls. Oh, my balls. Oh, my balls. Oh, my balls.
Okay, okay.
That's
okay.
All I hear
okay.
While people are asking their question. I don't even know if that was that a girl or a guy who called last.
It was a guy saying, oh, my balls.
Oh, my balls. Only the right one, by the way.
That's the right ureter that's got the stone.
What side are your kidneys on?
Both sides.
Oh, you have one on both sides?
Give me the book.
Oh, come on. I don't like that
I'm going to show you where the stone is.
Okay, look, I'm going to take a whiz. Drew, can you smell my urine and figure out what's going on?
I could taste it.
Done. Deal. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Hillary, who's 38. Interested in a younger man. Wants to know if she should go into therapy after this. Buddy Loveline. I'm Adam. Drew thinks I have a kidney stone. My right nut is killing me. All right, so what should I do? Drink a lot
just
of water?
Four of those tonight.
Four waters and in general. What about diet?
I'm not sure it's going to make any difference.
Okay,
right?
Good.
Avoiding your aches. Yeah, red wine might be good there.
Oh, no, come on, buddy. You know what they do? You know what they do with the doctors, these goddamn doctors? Whatever it is that you enjoy the most, they go right for it. Well, what? I like to see you cut back on the nicotine.
You wrote
the red
it down.
Wine,
you wrote it down.
In the Quaaludes. Yeah, I wrote wine down because I wanted to ask you a question about that layer. It has nothing to do with me, but it has to do with a study. But they go right for the stuff. Just once, I'd like to hear the doctor go, see if you could cut out tofu, stream water, and back off on the exercise a little bit.
Here's the deal. There's actually debate about whether diet has a significant effect on this, but the stones usually, most common stones start as urate crystals. Yeah. And your ability, your excretion of urate is sort of something that's just you, and there are medicines that can decrease that. But you can decrease oxalates. You can because oxalates are dietary related. And that's coffee, chocolate, that kind of stuff. So, you've mentioned that.
All right.
Yeah, you did a bunch of coffee before you.
I drank like a pot of coffee and played basketball.
So oxalates, avoid.
Okay, drink a lot of water.
And avoid the oxalates.
Yeah. Coffee and chocolate, yeah, all the good stuff. Hillary?
Yes?
What's up? 38.
I am 38. I'm like way into younger boys. I've been into therapy twice, not for being into younger boys, but because I have a really weird disease that Dr. Drew would probably recognize. I have like a weird combination of lupus and Crohn's disease.
Hmm. Oh, wow, pure comedy.
Pretty gregarious for someone who has Crohn's and lupus. Those are horrible.
No, sweetheart, I am like way energetic, always have been. But
all right. Hold on,
a
quick question. Does every older chick who's into young dudes have to be effing nuts? Like, why are they always whacked out? Not just sort of eccentric, but whacked out. What is that?
Let's find out.
All right. Sorry,
I'm into guys that are a lot younger than me.
How old?
Okay, well, that explains
21
it.
To 25.
Okay.
I just want to know if I need to get back into therapy.
What medication you want for your lupus and Crohn's?
Imuran.
Yeah.
Amitriptyline. Compazine. Levsin. Prednisone. You know, pretty much Prilosec, anything you want.
You're not on any of the immune modulatory medications for the lupus. You're just on the steroids, just on the prednisone, right?
Just on the steroids.
And how is your Crohn's diagnosed?
Well, no. Lupus is diagnosed, absolutely.
And Crohn's is a
positive lupus cell.
Wait.
Hold on. Hey, Hillary?
Okay.
All right, hold on for a second. Here's what I love about our callers. And listen, I can tell people are nuts just by hearing them inhale. I no longer have to hear the words that come out of their mouth. Just before they start talking, I know if they're nuts. You said to her, how was the Crohn's diagnosed?
Yeah.
All right, here's the answer. Lupus, definite. Positive lupus. We have the positive lupus cell. Right. Was that your question?
No.
It was, how was the Crohn's diagnosed?
Yeah. But you know what that was all about?
She doesn't have it. Hmm. She's crazy. Hmm. So we get the lupus story.
No, I had a colonoscopy.
Uh-huh.
Went up, took biopsies. I have Crohn's almost. I have white cells the first layer of skin. Dr. Drew understands what I'm talking about.
Right.
My only objection is you not telling us that in the first place. You went right into the loop.
No, we can't talk to her. No.
Honey, you're so high. She used the F word again.
You got to wonder if she is high, too, by the way.
I don't know. I can't get back to her now. Yeah. Hey, listen, I rest my case with the every chick in her late 30s who's into young dudes is nuts.
That was your second time using the F word, too. It was not you heard it the other two times, right?
I know. All right. Listen, everybody, here's something I want to tell you. There is a button that sits right in front of me that I like to use. And I like to use this this drop button like lab rats who get hooked on Coke, like to hit that Coke thing, you know, that feeds them the Coke.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. So I only, any excuse. So you start popping off and you're gone. That's it. So try me. I don't care. That's not, and by the way, I don't have a conversation with anybody about it. It's not like I get yelled at after the show for hanging up. I feel that much better about myself. Okay, JJ, you're 24. What's up?
Hey, you need to get that kidney stone taken care of.
No.
Dude, it's important. I've had three.
Three? How did they get it out of you?
Well, I peed two of them out, and the other one had to be taken out by a lithotripsy.
Ooh, what is that? They stick something up the urethra?
No.
That's what I was told.
They pound on it with ultrasound.
Oh, they break it up?
It. Yeah.
They crush it with sound waves.
It's like when a meteor's coming from outer space and we hit it with a laser beam.
Right. That's
yeah.
It.
I kind of enjoy that thought.
You do?
No. Listen, Drew's always wrong, so this has to be something else.
Well, I hope it is, because...
Well, JJ, you've been through this. Have Adam describe to you what he is experiencing. See what
okay,
sounds
tell
familiar.
Me, Adam.
Pain in the lower back to begin with.
Up mid-back.
Okay.
With.
No, not that high. Lower.
Yeah.
Lower back pain on the right side.
Hip side, like where your hips are.
Where my hip is.
Okay.
Right, like on that back of your hip bone there.
Sacrum.
And then a sort of migration down to my right nut.
Does it feel like something is inside of you?
Drew's penis was in there during the break. Is that what he's talking about?
No, other than that.
Other than Drew?
A foreign object that isn't usually there.
Well, Drew's parents are from Eastern Europe, so technically. Now, I don't quite have that like foreign object feel. I have the pain in the hip that has now migrated to the pain in the nut, and it feels like there has been a migration, but I don't know what has migrated.
Okay.
Did your nut get some pain in it?
Oh, the best way for me to describe it is, you know, when you had shop class and there was a vise on the bench?
Yeah.
Get up on the bench, put your nuts in it, and start turning it down.
Really?
Oh, it hurt.
And on just one nut?
Not either one, yeah.
You don't hear about the nut in the kidney stone that much, do you? Always hear about the pain in the abdomen and stuff, but the nut? Why is the nut having pain? That's not even in the loop, is it?
But you're, I don't know.
It certainly occurred to me.
The first time it happened, I went out and had a bunch of beers with the guys, and then went and had beers with some more friends.
Beer's the worst. Alcohol's the worst thing you can do, right?
Well, no. Some of them say it is, some of them say it's not.
Yeah, it's just irritating, that's all.
But you want to hydrate yourself, not deplete yourself.
Yeah, but you want to flush the ureter. You want fluid, you want volume going through.
Okay, I drink some beer then.
So there's nothing wrong with drinking beer, that's what they told me.
Oh, okay, because I always thought alcohol dehydrated you.
It does, but this is not about your body volume. It's about fluid.
This is about keeping it moving.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the coffee, then?
The oxalates.
Yeah.
All right, Ian, get some beer.
Get some beer, start pounding it down.
All right. Thanks. Now my nuts hurt more.
My nuts are starting to hurt just now, standing around
Why does your... Drew, please, tell me if I'm wrong. I've heard about the kidney stones my whole life. I never hear people complaining about the balls hurting. Now,
probably because there's some things in our society
decorum?
Outside of this program where people don't just broadcast. You know what I'm saying? They don't.
Right.
They don't immediately go. They'll say, "Oh, I had abdominal pain."
Right.
They don't go. They don't go. Oh my!
My balls are on fire
in a vice.
Oh, okay.
Like, only this show do people get real specific about what they're experiencing.
But so the ball one ball hurting.
But your doctor will know that it refers pain to the testy.
It does.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It's not your testing going bad.
Bad
it's
times.
Pain to the testing.
Bad times.
And can we share our bathroom conversation?
Yeah, what was
that? The bulge?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sure.
I'm not quite sure that went. I know I couldn't pee after talking to you about your nuts and the bulge.
Yeah,
but everyone knows.
Well, I have a hernia bulge that's just above the pube line there that's been with me for about 8 years, and I was asking Drew if that could have been the problem, and I don't remember what I said. What did I say to you?
So, I care.
Of course you know
the bulge.
You know my bulge.
You've seen the bulge.
Megan?
Yeah, hey. Hey, I love the show, and Adam, I just want to tell you, I know a lot of people call in and say they have your name written on their shoe. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually have an Adam Carolla shirt. I got it made, and it says, "Hooray for Adam Carolla."
Wow.
And I wear it to school, and guys love it. So.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and my friend has one that says, "I want to be just like Adam Carolla."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And your favorite town, too, it's Chicago.
I love that.
Yeah. But my question was for Drew, and I guess kind of for Adam, too. I want to get a lip ring, but I have... the cartilage of my ear pierced, and that was infected. So I was wondering if my body would reject it.
That's not the most typical rejection site. It's more eyelid, or eyebrow, rather.
That could be lid?
Eyebrow, eyelid, that'd be nice. But, you may be... First of all, there's two things. You know, some people have bacteria on their skin or don't heal as well as others. So you may be prone to infection. That may just be you. Now, the fact that your cartilage got infected in the ear is sort of a different issue because that's a very non-vascular area. It's common for it to get infected, and it's awful when it does. I'm sure you found out. So just because you've had infection in the cartilage doesn't mean you're going to get it in the lip. But didn't that discourage you from doing more piercing?
No. It didn't hurt that much. But I like the way it looks.
Okay, you don't know, Drew, right? Because maybe the needle wasn't sterilized properly.
No, it may just been one of those things. You're right. Maybe just on her skin that day was the...
That day.
Yeah.
But in general, if somebody got an infection in a certain part of their body, would you say that that person is more prone to infection than the next guy?
If she'd gotten one in a normal, like a nose ring or something like that, I'd say yeah. But the cartilage just has no blood supply, so it's hard for the body to clear infection from there.
You mean the real high piercing?
The cartilage, yeah.
Up on the top of the ear.
What'd you get, the tragus or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Wait. I thought it was cartilage hanging. Hangs off the bottom of the ear?
That's flesh. That's
just flesh.
But everything
the
hard
cartilage
is all the hard stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, Adam, I was wondering if you could say hi to my friend Julie. She's the one with the other shirt, and she listens religiously. She loves you, too. So.
Hey, Julie.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for wearing that shirt. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah. All right, Megan. Slow down. You're 16.
But don't slow down on that shirt.
Yeah, put the energy into T-shirts, not hardware.
Jesse?
Yes.
True, that would be a great bumper sticker. You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's that?
Okay, hold on a second. We got to take a break. I got to continue flushing myself.
Oh, are you hurting? More?
Well,
the more you think about it, huh?
Well, that's the problem with the stone. It's kind of like a tapeworm or crabs or something. It's like once you bring up the fact that something's in you, see, up until tonight, it was like, I strained my back playing ball, a hot bath, and take it easy for a day and a half, and I'll be right back on my feet. But now I got this sort of imminent doom kind of thing coming.
You're freaking out.
Well, I'm waiting for this stone now. Now I feel like there's something in me, and it's, you know, it's gathering momentum.
It needs to.
It's going to get worse.
It could.
All right. I got, you know, I haven't got a stone so far in my life, and I'm feeling confident. I'm going to flesh this one right out. Drew.
Yeah.
And take this as a doctor, please, not as a man. But if you sucked on my penis, could you pull it out?
And mine.
And could you pull it out of me? Seriously, a totally non-sexual thing.
Just vacuum.
Yeah, I mean, Doug would be cool with that. You understand, I'm the talent, and your job is to produce. And sometimes that means getting a cup of coffee, and sometimes it means a blowjob.
But you know, well, this is
what
you know how the urethra is sort of a, it's sort of a soft tube.
It is.
So if you
mine gets hard.
If you suck it, it collapses. But if she blew real hard into it,
she'd blow it out my ass. All right, and I'll tell you what. First 10 minutes, just sucking. It's like I don't know. I don't know if the stone came out. I don't know if white stuff came out. Let's sift through it and see if the stone's in there. All right, we'll take a break.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. Kevin Smith from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back coming in a little bit later this week. Directed the movie and starred in it, and we'll go find out if I was cut out of it or not. Mm. Nice guy, and I did get a jacket out of it, and he was he's a very easy director. Although I must say, when I was doing the scene, he was like, yeah, it was fine. All right, you can go. I was like, well, really? You don't want to try it again? No. Seems like that's good.
Seen enough.
Seen enough.
I think is what he said.
Jesse?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yeah, I'm 19. I just want to start out by saying I listen all the time and I learn tons of good stuff from you guys.
Oh, good. Tonight it's Stone Night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so I figured, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I'll listen at first and learn a lot of stuff and then maybe I'll call in.
Should we get into gallstones too while we're at it?
What is the difference between a gallstone and a kidney stone?
They're very different. One occurs in the gallbladder, one occurs in the kidney.
Makes sense.
Kidneys are urate crystals around with calcium oxalate usually, or what are called triple phosphate stones. These are the most common ones.
But do they both go out the urethra?
No. No.
Where's the gallstone go?
It stays in the gallbladder.
Oh, never moves.
Yeah, it either absorbs or it occludes the outlet to the gallbladder, and the gallbladder swells up.
That's got to hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad times. You got to get that out surgically?
Yeah, well, now they do it with a scope. You know, it's not even a knife anymore.
Send it up. Where do they send it down? Send it over?
I'll
put a little incisions.
Yeah.
Jesse?
Yes.
So what's up?
Well, skinny of it is, I'm 19, still a virgin. You probably heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
What, I just don't understand. I mean, what, how could, do I just, I mean, go out and just have sex with random girls? Is that, I mean.
Is that your plan?
Yeah, well, it's. Seems like it's not a bad idea.
Is that what you want to do?
Well, no, it's just something I'd like to get off my chest. You know,
you just want to get rid of the, just cast off that virginity any way you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, and I like girls a lot, you know.
Have you ever have you had a girlfriend?
I've had quite a few.
How was that?
The relationships always seemed to end before it got anything serious like that.
Why?
I have no idea.
Did you want them to end, or did she want them to end?
Well, no. I mean, most of the breakups were initiated by the girl.
Why? What was the problem?
Most of the reasons were, in fact, you know, well, I need to date other people and stuff like that.
So you don't know what the problem was.
Something's wrong.
No.
Do they ever? The problem is,
dude. Well, did they ever tell you the real reason? No.
I don't know. Jesse sounds a little weird. Hey, Jesse?
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you work?
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
I do customer service.
I see.
Man. I talk to people on the phones all day.
Oh, really? Wow, because you really sound like you don't have a great temperament for that. But then again, anyone I ever talk to in customer service, I think, what the hell are you doing in this line of business?
Jesse, perfect.
You are perfect. I'm sorry. So... you need to not think about this so much. It can't affect your life the way it does. You're making too much of it.
Right.
Well, there, women, look, look. He's got a weird line, so I'm putting him on hold. Women are just as individual as men are.
Yeah, of course.
And
like more so.
You're going to find some that screw you over, and you're going to find some that are great.
More so. Come on, men are much more
rigid and
simple.
Sort of, yes, they're
like
easier to figure out.
It's like a
amoeba.
Yeah, exactly. Like a Lego machine or something. You know, little one crank.
Well, it's like you want to go study. You go to the Galapagos Islands and study sea iguanas. They're not going to vary that much from one to the other. That's just right. Reptiles, that's basically. Right. Men are basically that way when it comes to their sexuality.
That's right. The relationships.
Okay. Jesse's like a little angry and a little weird and a little bitter, and he's got a chip on his shoulder, and there's
a little paranoid.
And a little, a little freaked out with the chicks.
Let's ask him more.
No, his line's bad. I don't want to talk to him. Whatever it is, Jesse, just relax. One thing women can definitely pick up on is vibe.
Yeah.
And Jesse's vibe ain't good. And would you agree with that his vibe is sort of negative or weird?
I mean, a little bit. I think he just wants to get this thing going. He's 19. Probably all his friends have lost their virginity.
Right. But imagine if you're going out on a date or two with Jesse and you're getting that he wants to get this thing over with.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe.
That and you chicks never tell me what's really going on.
Yeah, I've been dumped by a lot of chicks, but they all lie, so who knows?
Right.
Kind of vibe. It's tough. You know, I'll tell you the thing that's a real bitch. When you're 19 as a guy, you have no identity. You're working customer service, for Christ's sake. It's embarrassing, you know. As a woman, you may not have any identity either, but who cares? You're still very hot, very desirable, very dateable at 19. As a guy who's 19, you're driving a piece of ass around town. Your dad's still yelling at you. You're doing customer service. You just have zero identity. Zero. Plus, you're a virgin. So it's like your confidence is at all-time low, and chicks pick up on that vibe.
Do you think just...
He's got a date like a retarded 13-year-old.
Out of curiosity, do you think 19 to 28-year-olds, let's say, are aware of that, male or female, that the men stock's going to go up and women may not last so long or may go down? Do you think they're thinking about that?
No, but why? What would you change about it?
I don't know. Well, guys, less more patient. Guys,
I mean, just think about how much higher a guy's stock is at 35 than it is at 19 when he has zero identity at 19.
Yeah.
And nobody does, except for Drew over here. He used to, you know, wave that pre-med thing around to try to get some poontang. David?
Hey, what's up?
I'm like, yeah, I'm cleaning carpets. I'm hoping to move into cleaning upholstery. That's where the money is. And my boss tells me I should get into fish tank cleaning because that's where, you know, there's more money into that, too.
What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, Mayonnaise? What's up, Drew?
What's happening, David?
I just want you to know, like, what are the, like, long-term effects of, like, peyote, like, for doing it for the first time this weekend?
You doing other hallucinogens or just peyote? Or have you done other hallucinogens?
Just peyote.
You've never done anything? You've never done ecstasy? How much pot are you smoking?
Like once a week.
Oh, BS. David, how much pot are you smoking?
Well, there's only 2 days in David's week.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Every other day.
No LSD, no ecstasy.
No.
Where do you get peyote?
Oh, my friend's bringing it from California. I mean, he's already here. We're just going to have a party.
Well, what do you do, grow peyote? What is it, made from a cactus or a weed or something?
Well, it's a hallucinogen, and I can't say that a single use is going to do anything, but it's obviously not good for the brain, okay? And repeated use of any hallucinogen puts you at risk for permanent alteration of brain chemistry.
No, the one time's not going to kill you, but you could be vomiting for a few days.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's...
Yeah, and you might, you know, do something stupid on your skateboard, like ride it off the roof of a building or something like that.
And if you're prone to depression, it can really precipitate that kind of thing. Or if you've had, you know, anxiety disorders can be triggered. The things that can be triggered by these, it can be really disabling and unpleasant. So why take that risk? Is it really worth it for peyote?
You know, peyote's too big a commitment for me.
Because of the vomiting?
The heaving, and aren't you high for a couple of days? And
it can be a long... Yeah, that's the other part about it. I've seen things like peyote, like gypsum weed and things, create these deliriums where people do very weird ass.
Here's what I'm saying. You drop that button of peyote, and you're feeling pretty freaky an hour into it. You can look forward to another 30 hours of being freaked out of your brain.
I wish Carlos Castaneda would write a book now about his current condition.
Why? Who's that?
You don't read those books when you're in high school?
No, you mean, is that like Timothy Leary or something?
Yeah, he wrote all these books. What the hell was it? You remember those books, Ann? Carlos Castaneda books?
No.
Oh, come on.
He wrote Don Quixote? Drew, we didn't read those books in high school. What, about how trippy and cool drugs were?
Basically, you did a lot of...
Find yourself through drugs?
Hanging out with the Indians and doing peyote and stuff.
Yeah.
But he had permanent brain effects.
Yeah, but you gotta understand, what was that, high school for you?
Yeah.
You see, we just missed the freako train, the freak-out psycho train
that
you did.
I was square on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were in high school. It was like early 80s.
Right. It wasn't the 70s.
That was like Go-Go's and Coke, you know?
Yeah,
we missed the whole bell-bottom, moccasin, freak-out, convene with nature, let's go apologize to the Indians.
Right, this was all that.
Yeah. That was like, we missed it by like 5-6 years. Thank God.
What a shame.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there.
And we've just rewritten the history of America in the 70s. What'd you say?
Yeah.
We got to rewrite our own history of America as seen through the eyes of young adolescents.
Listen,
ourselves in the 70s.
You young people, you missed something with the 70s, and you're very lucky. And I know... It's somewhat glorified today. You think it was all disco?
Oh no!
And bell bottoms.
That was sort of the fringy part of it, really.
That was the fringy, glitzy disco late 70s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You guys want to know what the real 70s felt like? Go rent a movie called Billy Jack.
That was as good as it got.
That'll tell you what the 70s was like.
That was the top of the 70s.
Bunch of white people beating up Indians, and everything is brown and orange, and it's real depressing. Yeah,
America's bad. We're bad, you're bad, and we're angry.
Go rent Billy Jack and enjoy.
Somebody's got to call in and remind me the name of that Carlos Castaneda book.
You think any of our moronic listeners are going to know?
The Return of the
Get on the computer and find it. Sarah?
All right. Yes?
You're 16.
Yeah, hi.
What's up?
I'm having some problems with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's been addicted to smoking crack for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out like 2 years ago, and she went in through rehab for maybe about 2 weeks. And she went out of it, and we thought everything was fine, and she went back and forth from using, and I knew about it. And tonight I found, like, a bag of her stuff, usually, and it was inside my room.
Oh, boy.
In your room?
Yeah, like, I just came back from California for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found out from my friend, because I'm at my friend's house, because I didn't want to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And, I found out that her boyfriend is living in, who's in work relief right now, sort of.
Work relief from prison?
Well, yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's out of it now, but he's like, kind of like, he has to stay at home and everything.
Your mom sounds like a dynamite lady, by the way.
She's got her stuff together. Got her act together. Yeah.
I know. I kind of get upset with her.
Yeah. What about your dad? I mean, what kind of guy is he?
He was the one who got her on drugs.
Oh,
is he in recovery now?
When I was younger.
Is he still out, or is he in recovery now?
He's recovered now, but he used to be an abusive alcoholic as well.
All right, got it.
Mm.
All right.
But he's, like, all fine now.
So you think she's back on the crack now?
I know she is because...
All right, what do you want to do?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if I should tell my grandmother about it.
Why don't you go back and live with your dad who's in recovery?
Well, he's in California, and I really don't want to live with him.
Why?
Well, who the hell wants to live in California when all your friends are in Chicago, you're 16,
is that it?
Going into your junior year?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought maybe I harbored a lot of resentments against your dad for what happened when you were
young.
No,
younger. I don't have... Well, yeah, I kind of do, but...
Why not?
Can you get to some Al-Anon meetings? Or Alateen, rather?
Yeah, I can, in Libertyville, but...
Have you been to that before?
I've been to one meeting, but at the time she was, like, in the hospital and stuff, and...
Your dad is in recovery now, and he may be available to you in a new way. And if you open to that, it could help you through this.
So how far away does your grandmother live?
She lives in Florida.
No.
Well, you got to tell everyone you can. And I think you got to tell not only the grandparents, you got to call the police, you got to turn
the drug in,
you got to call Adult Protective Services.
Leave the cops alone for
a second. All right, well, call Child Protective Services.
No, leave them alone, too. Call your dad and have a conversation with him.
Well, and, oh, for sure, tell your dad. Tell everyone you can tell, because you need all the support you can get, and you need somebody to help you with this. Your mom is not competent right now. She's on drugs.
Yeah.
And you need help. It's not your responsibility. Other adults need to come in and step in and help you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You have any brothers or sisters?
I have two half-brothers with my dad.
Yeah.
But I found out that the boyfriend that's living with us, he's known about it, and she's threatened to call the police on him.
Yeah.
Because she's barren.
So he doesn't want to go back to prison, and so he knows about it, and he's letting her do that.
Yeah. Well, hey, Sarah.
Yeah.
Here, let me tell you, and I'll just give you this real fast.
Okay.
You're a smart person. You're a sane person. You have a one-up on your mom and your dad and most people around you. And I don't know why, but you do. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous.
And you've been through a lot in your life.
Yeah.
And life will be okay for you. And you look at your mom as your mom, and you love her, and you're worried about her. And we just look at her as some crazy crack-addicted screwball.
Yeah.
Okay? You got to get a little distance and think, look, you're not going down with her. You love her, but you can't let her bring you down with her. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to take care of yourself. You have to get good grades, and you have to go far away to college somewhere.
You do. Okay? That's true. You need to go.
I'm just afraid of, like, waking up one morning and she's not going to be there.
That is a possibility.
That may be. It's a decision she made that there's nothing you can do about.
You could go to Al-Anon or Alateen. You can call your dad. You can call for help, and you can realize that this isn't your responsibility and that you need help from whichever adult is willing to come and help you.
Right. All right. Good luck.
You know, interesting, very interesting point about her. You sense that there's really somebody present with her. There's a real self there.
Yes.
It's not all that fractured, damaged stuff.
Yeah, I do.
I was talking to a psychiatrist there last weekend who was saying that there is now an independent, a study showed, they're trying to figure out why some people have these sort of seemingly genetic endowments where they're just better able to handle incredible trauma in childhood.
Right.
And they think there's just maybe some people that can just handle it. You've talked about this before, right?
Yeah, I always just call it horsepower.
Yeah, horsepower.
But it's about being smart.
But what's interesting, they found one independent variable, which is being attractive. As though if you're attractive, you bring people to you to rescue you and to connect to you and to keep coming in.
You mean physically attractive?
Physically attractive. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
And that to me triggers a whole lot of other thoughts about, holy God, does that mean that's another...
We got to punish the ugly again, once again?
Right.
Well, they deserve it. Ugly, Drew.
My head immediately goes to obesity.
Ah, don't worry.
You know what I mean? And that genetic mark, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. Your kids are pretty. Tristan?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
What's going on, Drew?
Hey.
I always hear you guys' opinion on how girls are trouble if they don't like their dad, right?
Yes.
I was wondering what your opinion is if they don't like their mother.
If the girls don't like their mother?
Yeah.
We call them a teenager.
You're fine.
Okay, cool.
Now, look, if you're their lesbian partner, there may be trouble. Even then, no.
All right.
Now, I really think that a woman's temperament and almost sexual disposition and just sort of general disposition as she relates to her intimate partners is laid out by dad.
Well,
mom can F it up a little bit, but it's generally dad.
We certainly hear a lot of that.
Put it this way, Drew. Would you rather date a girl who had... Well, no. Okay, here's... I'm gonna give you a tough call here.
Right,
you ready?
All right.
You're dating a young woman, okay? Let's just say you're in your... let's say you're 23. You're dating a 23-year-old woman, right?
Yep.
Would you rather she had some problems with her dad? Let's just say on the scale of 1 to 10, let's give her 10 being the most problem, you know, abuse and alcoholism. Would you rather she was at a 5 with her dad or a 9 with her mom?
9 with the mom.
Right.
Yeah.
You got a much better shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's the way it works.
You know what? A lot of the stuff with mom is early in life.
Right.
And women have an easier time with all that for some reason. They individuate better. They identify more strongly with mom because they are mom. They're not separate.
They got a vagina.
And the later stuff, is more the interpersonal stuff, and that comes on with Dad.
Yeah. All right. So don't worry about Mom. Christina?
Hi.
Hey, you're 13. What's up?
Well, I heard, like, a couple weeks ago, like, this girl called in, and she said that, she, like, when she was little, that she would, like, play with, like, her girlfriends, and they would, like, touch each other and stuff. And then Dr. Drew said that that was, like, bad, and that she had, like, gotten abused or whatever. And I've, like, done that with, like, when I was, like, in kindergarten to when I was in third grade, I would, like, me and my, like, girlfriends would, like, touch each other and stuff.
Well, yeah. Exploration is one thing. I mean, we were talking about someone who had explicit sexualized behaviors. They were trying to stimulate towards, you know, genital stimulation.
Yeah, we were, like, doing that.
Okay.
Well, it's weird. Drew and I argue about this. We go in circles, and I sort of half agree with him. But I think it's I think it's more widespread, and Drew agrees with this. I know you're going to jump in. But what I mean is Drew says this comes in the face of abuse. This is a byproduct of abuse that came before it.
With somebody, one of these kids.
With a lot of them.
One of these kids.
I think there's a lot of this that goes on that is not in the face of that abuse, and that it's experimentation, and it's hard to say what's sexual and what's not, because you got the person's cooch in your face, or you're playing doctor or whatever it is, so it all feels sexual, except for at age 6, it's hard to feel sexual.
Right.
But it feels, here's what I think it feels like. It feels like it's naughty, and there's a thing, I mean, you take a kid and you put that sign at the museum that says do not touch, and they touch.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that we're doing something that shouldn't be done.
But my point has always been is that some child you often was sexualized as an adult, and that kid becomes the sort of infecting
becomes
agent.
Becomes a ringleader.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, my mom, like when I was really little, she like told me what sex was, and she like made me like see her vagina.
Oh.
And so.
Okay. See, you had to crap on my point. She made you look at her.
Yeah.
She couldn't just get a book, huh? Too cheap.
Well, she got a book, too. But.
She, now, what do you mean, look at her vagina?
She, like, made me look. I can't remember it too well, but she, like, made me look at her vagina.
I get angry at this stuff. That is the most.
What'd she do, lift her skirt up and show you?
This is again,
I can't remember.
This is, again,
like,
people so misattuned to their kids, so malattuned, all in the name of some ideological point they've got to drive home.
Oh, well, look, somebody probably did something weird to Mama. My, you know, what happened, my mom showed me her vagina once, and just as she flipped on the vacuum cleaner, I thought I was going to get sucked up into there. That's why I'm in therapy right now. True story.
That fits with your pathology, by the way.
Thank you. All right. So, look, are you all right now? Are you getting raped?
Well, like a couple summers ago, I was like molested by my cousin.
Oh boy, here we go.
All right, but meanwhile, you come from the from a family where that kind of stuff's
rampant.
Probably normal, right?
Sorta.
Okay, baby. Look, let me give you your 5-year plan. Do not get pregnant.
Okay.
Do not get pregnant.
Get your grades up.
Do not get pregnant. Get your grades up and your skirt down.
Oh, my God.
Do you hear me that?
Yeah.
All right. That's what I like to say. Here's what I want to see. Hair up.
Grades up.
Grades up. Panties up. Skirt down. That's what I would yell over the PA if I was the principal of a school.
Grades up.
Yeah.
Hair up.
Oh, no, wait.
Panties up. Skirt down. No, it doesn't work.
Well, how about grades up, panties up, skirt down? We call it the GPS system.
All right, there you go. Global positioning. Or
that's right.
Wait.
What?
I remember the name of that book I was trying to think. It was like it's the Road to Something. Carlos Castaneda, and of course somebody from Oregon has now to call in with the title.
Somebody's going to call in.
Yeah, somebody's got it.
Yeah, you know they don't.
Let's see.
It's always, how old are they? 16. Always a disappointment. Oh, well, now with the computer, maybe. Steven?
Hey there.
You're 16. What's up, Smarty Pants?
Hey, I'm not Smarty Pants. All right, anyway. There's like 3 different books, and they're all on like the same thing.
Yeah, what's the road to what? Or the way, or the road, or the...
A Yakoi Way of Knowledge?
No, that wasn't it.
A Separate Reality?
Yeah, it was the other one.
The Art of Dreaming. Either one.
I guess it was Separate. That's all Carlos Castaneda?
Yeah, that's all Carlos Castaneda.
I guess it was Separate Reality.
It's really good stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah, sick.
Did you read
it? Sick, twisted.
Yeah, my dad handed it to me, and I got most of it, and it was really good. It was, like, mind-blowing, you know.
Yeah, well, it's all... listen, just call Mr. Cassidy and see where he is now.
Why? How do you know? Maybe he's doing quite well.
Maybe he is.
You think he's, like, with Timothy Leary?
Yes.
Since some... his ashes have been shot into space. Didn't Leary get his ashes shot into space?
I'm sure.
Do you guys care where your ashes go? No.
No.
You know, it's weird, though. You know, it's always weird. It's like, look, you're dead. You're dead. I don't care what happens. Stuff me full of embalming fluid and, you know, put me in a pine box and bury me or throw me into an incinerator. I don't care. And then someone will go, what about somebody, you know, sodomizing you? You know, raping your corpse. And it's like, oh, no way. Come on, buddy. Get real. No way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you feel helpless.
Would that haunt you?
No.
No, it wouldn't?
You're Mr. Atheist. How can you be bothered by stuff like that?
I know, but it's still, like, extra weird, isn't it?
No one's going to sodomize you.
No? No? You don't think so?
Why is it you'd be worried about that afterlife? You're so into it during life.
I think it'd be a good thing to tell somebody if you killed them. Like all the weird stuff you're going to do with their corpse. You know what I mean? To really freak them out? Like give it a little extra dimension? I mean, like in a movie, not like I'd ever do that. Or, you know, myself. I wouldn't dirty my hands.
I understand.
All right. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
I have a question. Me and a friend of mine, we have another friend who is going to have both of his testicles taken out.
Why?
Because he has cancer.
No, I may have to have one removed.
Well, the doctors are going to have to remove him.
Both of them?
Yeah. That's what he was saying. Well, okay. He wasn't saying, but his mom was telling
him. How come you never hear about both of them? Why do they always seem to take one?
Because that's usually the way it works. Usually,
why wouldn't you get cancer in the other one? Why the right there? You know, same reason one of my nuts hurts and the other one doesn't? Yeah.
I don't know. That's just what they said.
Why,
that
they
had to take both of them.
All right, that's fine.
And we felt kind of uncomfortable about talking to him about it because we didn't know where he kind of stood on it.
Are they going
to
help him save some semen or freeze some semen?
Well, we didn't know about any of that, but we were wondering if he was still going to be able to, if he was still going to be able to get an erection.
He will be, I suspect, totally normal.
Probably have a better erection because it's lighter. And if I look at my testes, I have big nuts and a small penis. I think it holds it down. I think it weights it down like a sandbag on
I
a balloon.
They'll be able to replace his testosterone levels. He just won't have any sperm in the semen.
So, all right, it'll just kind of be like getting a vasectomy. He won't be able to...
Exactly. He'll need some extra supplements because the testosterone-producing cells are no longer there either.
If you have... if you have cancer in the testicles, are you producing sperm?
Yeah.
It's not affecting your
sperm
output?
Lovely.
Your sperm output?
Probably is, but may not make
it
fertility.
Okay, so they would harvest some sperm before they cut. And would they cut a sack off?
No.
They just leave the sack.
Empty the sack. Maybe put some sort of prosthesis in.
Fantastic. All right, Josh.
Thank you.
Take care there, buddy. Hey, good times, right? Right. Ben?
Hey, Adam, you're one of my, favorite comedians, and I was wondering how come I don't see you in more movies?
Yeah, it's a fine question, because jackasses keep cutting me out of them, that's why.
Really?
I have to ask Kevin Smith when we see him.
It may have something to do with Adam refusing to go to talk to casting directors. Ever.
Really? Auditions or anything.
You could be so funny.
Well, let me tell you this, Ben. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that, and I'll just put this out there. There's nothing I've ever done in my career has ever been handed to me. And that sounds like a pompous statement, but what I mean is I figured out a long time ago, whatever it is I want to do, I'll have to do it. If I want to be in a TV show, I'll have to create the TV show. And it's the same with the movie. If I want to be a movie star, I got to make the movie, and we're in the process of doing that. So it'll happen soon enough.
You are?
Yeah.
Making your own movie?
Well, I mean, we're writing a movie, and who's doing it? Oh, Ivan Reitman's doing it.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a big deal, and it'll be good, and me and Jimmy are doing it, and, you know, Jimmy's doing all the work, and we'll do that probably in a few months.
Probably in a few months it'll come out, or you're
going to start? No, it won't come out. I think we'll hopefully get starting on filming it in a few months.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so don't worry.
All right.
Thanks, Ben.
Hey, you're welcome.
You have a question?
Actually, I don't.
Oh, really? Well, good times there, buddy. You're right, Drew. If I went out on a on t-
An audition.
Every once in a while, I would probably pop up in a movie or two, but we'll just work it out for ourselves. Jesse?
It's Kelsey.
Kelsey?
Yes.
You're 24. What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be allergic to someone's semen?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do hear it from time to time, but it's always hard to pinpoint whether it's actually that or something else. But we always question them on it.
It causes vaginal irritation sometimes.
No, this is orally, whenever I swallow, I feel like it acts as like a laxative. And I was wondering if it could be an allergy.
You want to move your bowels after swallowing semen?
Yes.
No, that is not an allergy.
I'll tell you, though, Jesse, I could shoot you a nice musket ball tonight. I think I got a stone in there, Drew.
I'll tell you. Wait. Let's not let her go that
Hold time. On. If I got a BJ, I think it'd just be like, pow, and I'd blow off the back part of the woman's skull. It's just like she committed suicide. I think it's musket ball size.
Nice.
It's a musket ball, you know, about the size
of a
kumquat or something.
You've got two more to drag. Let's get going here.
All right. Do you want to talk to Jesse? My sack's hurting now.
Let's talk about that.
My balls?
Yeah.
They're hurting more. And they started hurting the more you talked about the kidney stone, the more they started hurting.
It could be the
fluid. Is that hurting it? Why?
I'm moving it.
Oh, good. Hey, Jesse?
Yes.
Or Kelsey.
I mean, Kelsey.
Yes, Kelsey.
I'm sorry. You say the semen acts as a laxative?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
No, yeah, it's ridiculous. But, yeah,
could never absurd. Happen.
Impossible. But there is something called the gastrocolic reflex. When you put things, particularly warm things, in your stomach, you can actually cause a stimulation of bowel movement. But I would think you'd also notice that when you drank, you know, tea or coffee or anything else, you'd be sort of used to that.
God bless you for swallowing, though, Jesse.
No. This is the first guy it's ever happened with.
So. Yeah, good times.
It's nerve gas. Right, Adam?
But it's great for the guys. Like, you a little backed up, baby? Huh?
Got just the thing.
Yeah. I got a little frothy laxative right here. Just hold still. Yeah, that's right. You know, we'd really get that loose. Just, you know, forget about the route. Go right in through the rear end. I'll really loosen that bowel up. That's what I'll do. I'll go for a little sodomy, you know. I'll loosen it up, you know, like you know, loosen up the wooden spoon, you know, more than a laxative, right?
I think the stone is migrating north. It's getting into your brain.
All right, I'm going to see if I can pee this stone out. Right. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's talk to Matt, who's 46.
Matt's going
to
give me the real name of that book.
Thank you, Matt. What's up?
Hi, gentlemen. It's great to talk to you. You're both fabulous.
Thanks.
The real name of that book is Journey to Ixtlan. It's the third one by Carlos Castaneda.
That's the one.
And it's the first one in the series that doesn't talk about drugs. The first two go on at some length about Datura, Jimson Weed, and Peyote.
Yeah. Good. Did you read those books?
Yes, I read them.
Yeah.
Didn't the 70s suck?
Yeah. They did. It was the beginning of the worldwide competition that's given us what we've got now.
Well, how... Uh-oh. Wait a minute. This man could be blaming the man for everything. But, nah. Matt, how bad was the architecture and the cars?
Oh, my God.
I mean, everybody, picture... You know, 1974, picture what an American car looked like in 1974. And forget about an American car, any car.
A Ford Granada.
Piece of crap.
If you were from Michigan, a 69 Chevy looked pretty terrible by 1974.
Yeah, but that was the best thing going. There was
I know.
The new cars they were putting out were the ones that really stunk.
And that was the beginning of those little cars, those little and ugly Japanese cars that somehow ran really well.
And
you know,
picture and everybody picture architecture: a nice flat roof with some rocks on it,
yeah,
some streamlined molding, an aluminum window, some burnt orange carpeting. Long, yarny, shaggy, funky, smelly carpeting. Nice, a lot of use of the color avocado in the kitchen. Nice avocado burner cooker, nice avocado refrigerator, some funky. Everything was about imitation, too.
Yeah.
The floor on the kitchen could have been that fake brick linoleum on the floor.
It had to be fake brick in the kitchen somewhere. Some wall.
Somewhere in the kitchen had some fake brick. Could have been the pattern on the floor. Yeah. Could have been the actual raised fake brick that they put on the wall. Z-brick that they used to give away on game shows.
Yes.
The windows, and you guys remember this? The popular stained glass film they would put on, like windows, too. Like the funky fake looking stained glass with the fake brick and this like fake, you know, the wood paneling was supposed to look like wood, but it was, you know, Luon and it was an eighth of an inch thick. Everything was like fake and funky and bad.
It didn't work.
And nothing worked well either. And the whole thing was, is, you know, convenience and all this kind of stuff. But I had a toaster in my house. That, not my house, because the Corollas didn't fall, like I said, we didn't fall in for all this 70s crap. We were living in the 40s. And now my mom is up to, well, she's in the 40s still, but she's in the later 40s, 47, 48. She's entering into the 40, 49, I think. But there was a toaster in the house I bought 2 years ago that was remodeled in the 70s. Toaster built into the wall, so you'd pull the toaster out. Remember all that weird built-in stuff? Like, hey, instead of having a blender, we'll have a little blender
jack
on the countertop, and you'll just set your blender into it. Oh, that's a time saver, because we all know we use our blender like 4 or 5 times a day because we all got lockjaw. But in my house that I bought in Sherman Oaks, you'd pull this toaster out. First off, the action was horrible. You had to yank on it and pull on it, and it comes out. And then when it comes out, it was about 2 inches below the cabinet bottom, so the toast couldn't come out. The bread could go in because you could flex it, but to get the toast out, you'd have to break it in the middle and fold it out.
And it would burn the...
Right. Horrible. And let me give you guys the essence of the 70s in a nutshell in terms of space-age crap that didn't work.
Well, that was their thing. It's like
from an architectural
modern
standpoint.
Everything's the space-age modern.
Sliding hollow core doors. Sliding doors. Hey, why do it the old-fashioned way with the hinge and the knob? Right. You can have this Star Trek-type sliding door. But they never shut right. They never latch right. They get stuck in the pocket. You'd have to start yanking on it. Everything was junk. Every piece of wood was hollow. Every car had a huge gas-guzzling V8 into it that got about 130 horsepower tops. I mean, imagine a big, like, 6-liter gas-guzzling V8 that put out 125 horsepower.
And the cars had fake crap on it, too.
Fake wood stickers on the side of the car.
How about those vinyl roofs?
The Landau top, the Townau top. Yeah, so the upholstery on the side, the outside of the car that the sun would hit and it would explode.
In about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, like go watch an old episode of Cannon. Watch him drive around that LTD with the opera windows and the padding on the roof. It's like, look, here's what I was thinking about that. You guys cannot figure out a way to get the dashboard from exploding inside of 18 right. months, and that's inside of the car. You really think you should be upholstering the roof of the car? How long you figure that's going to be good for?
That is true.
That was called there was the Landau top and the Townau, I think it was called.
Brougham.
Townau. Oh, the broom. Javier, you're 14. You're born in 1987. No, Javier don't have his phone. He doesn't have his radio turned down.
Javier?
All right, listen. He's got to turn his radio down, you little tard. Rob?
Yes.
You're 28?
Yeah.
What's up?
I got a question. I just started taking Prozac about 2 months ago.
What kind of project?
Prozac.
Taking Prozac.
Prozac. Oh,
right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now I was thinking about doing the drug ecstasy. I'm curious how Prozac affects that, because I've heard some different things.
Well, why are you taking Prozac?
There's a history of chemical imbalance in my family, so it's depression. And I suffered for a couple of years, and I didn't want to take anything, and finally I did, and it works. It feels pretty good.
You feel a lot better.
Yeah.
You have a history of doing drugs?
No.
No drugs before?
Well, marijuana and some booze, but nothing really.
Are you a daily pot smoker?
No.
Not a regular pot smoker?
No. No, I didn't start smoking pot until I was in college.
What do you want to do with...
You've been out of college for 8 years. Are you a regular pot smoker?
No.
Okay.
Why do you want to check out the XE? You've never tried it?
No, I have done. I've done X about 4 times in my life, and I'm doing it with a girl, so...
Oh, okay.
That I just kind of met, so...
Yeah, it'll be fine, right?
Well, there's two things. One is... It depletes the chemicals that you're trying to support with the Prozac, and so it makes your depressions worse. And there's something called a serotonin excess syndrome, where if you, through the use of a stimulant plus Prozac, you can actually induce a state in the brain that can kill you. Now, it's not likely to happen, but there's a theoretic possibility of that happening.
Would you say, if you were going to advise someone who's going to take ecstasy and on Prozac, would you say, don't take the Prozac that day?
No, Prozac stays your system a week.
Would you say don't take it for the week before?
You can't do that.
Would you make a difference? I
mean, depression is a potentially life-threatening problem by itself.
Well, he's not going to kill himself. He's got some poontang at the end of the week that he's going to get high. And he's going to try to get his penis to work. I bet you end up just rubbing on her for like 4 days. You think you're going to have sex with her, Rob?
I don't know. I just had fun with it, and she's a cool girl.
So all right. And she's good to go?
I hope so. I don't know.
I mean, did you ask her if you guys were going to do the
X? Oh, yeah. We just kind of planned thing. It's not
That's good times. Good times. All right. Listen, I'm telling you, you can't go wrong with booze in terms of getting laid. You kids turn into pharmacists out there. Well, not Rob, but you know what I mean?
No.
Look, here's what I'm saying. You could give her the Prozac, and you guys could trip the light fantastic. I mean, it might be a great night. On the other hand, she could vomit and then start crying and tell you about every guy she's ever slept with, not including you, because you ain't getting laid. Or start telling you about how her dad used to come into her room and touch her. I mean, it can go south in a hurry. It can get weird. It can be great. Anytime, by the way, there's the... opportunity for greatness, there's always the opportunity for like colossal failure.
Is this true of all things in life?
It's everything.
Everything in life. Okay. Just to make sure we weren't just talking about your foreplay.
No, you know those model airplanes I fly? you can fly the little trainers. They look like little Cessnas.
Yeah.
You can fly that all you want. You'll never crash.
Not a great
thing. It's almost impossible. Yeah. But it's no fun.
Right.
It's boring. Or you can fly the jet and you can crash. It's that way with everything. Right?
You can soar to great heights, but at great risk.
That's right.
I see. So you're basically encouraging people to do drugs.
Okay. I don't know.
That's nice.
Not me.
Or if not that, no, I guess it was juice up your girlfriends and rape them. Wasn't that sort of the message here?
Rape's a strong word, but okay. Mai?
Hi.
Hey, you're 17.
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. I was wondering, because my boyfriend and I have been together for 7 months now, and we've been sexually active, well, having sex for about a month and a half.
What's the difference between sexually active and having sex?
Oh, well, sexually active, like we did other things, like oral sex.
Uh-huh. I see. So you would have put that in sexually active.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. But he's never come.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been having sex for?
About a month and a half now.
Month and a half.
He's never, even when you were giving him oral sex?
No.
Is he on any medication?
No.
Does he have any medical problems?
No.
How does he know when to stop?
It's just because I can't take anymore.
Mm-hmm. And does he ever finish himself off?
He's too embarrassed to in front of me.
I see. And does he masturbate?
He quit about a month and a half ago because I asked him to, because we were having problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it still hasn't happened, so...
Right. And you know, I know you're doing the semen math. But, Drew, you'll back me up on this one. How old is the guy?
He's 17.
A 17-year-old guy should be able to beat one out on the way over to his girlfriend's house and still squeeze one out on the porch with her.
However, she made the right move, which is maybe he was doing it 6 or 8 times before he got there and he wasn't really talking
about it. She did. Like I said, her math is right, but her logic is not going to work.
I understand.
Because if this guy, my logic would be, look, if things ain't functioning when he's with her, he needs to sort of master himself.
Yes.
I mean, he's got to work himself out a little
bit. That's him.
And he shouldn't stop. He should sort of figure it out a little better.
Yes, I agree.
How often was he masturbating before you made him stop?
Daily.
daily.
So, I think you may be doing it a few times.
And by the way, you telling him to stop and him stopping are two completely different things.
That's right.
I actually asked him to slow down, and he's like, well, stop. I was like, if that's what you want to do.
Well, okay. So he has no trouble when he's not with you beating one out, right?
And he can do it 2 minutes flat.
Right.
Yeah,
flat on his back.
This is the Corolla syndrome.
Thank you. Now, what you need to do is, here's the problem. His penis is nervous around you, mm-hmm. and he whacks off so much. Is he a dry man or a lube man?
Dry.
He's a dry man with the masturbation.
This is because it's not,
I know it.
It's not the real thing.
It's a different sensation. Yeah. He's got, okay, everyone listen to me. Here's the thing. If you're a dry man and you beat off, you essentially grab the skin and you hang on to the skin and you move the skin over the penis. You don't slide your whole hand up and down the penis. Let's just, for the sake of argument, let's call it the Tootsie Roll and the wrapper.
Are you taking notes here, Ann? Go ahead.
No, she's not listening to the show.
Just let you enjoy the hand movements that he's getting into here.
Hey, here's the danger of guys with the dry lube, dry masturbation.
Get too used to it.
They grab onto the skin, and you're moving the skin up and down on the penis. You're not sliding the hand on the skin. You're grabbing the skin and moving the skin. Then you get with a woman, and there's all kinds of lubrication, and now the skin ain't moving. The vagina's moving on the skin. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. And if you get used to that sensation alone, especially when you're a guy and you're beaten off for 5 years before you're with a woman, this guy's logged thousands and thousands of jack sessions. Then he meets a woman, it's a totally different sensation. They're just going to have to work it out. It will work out.
Miles of penis.
He could stretch a line of a rope of semen from here to Nova Scotia.
Nice.
Thank you.
It's quite an image.
That's right.
Let's go to break. Huh?
Yeah. Yep. We'll go to break, but let me say this.
Oh, please.
I don't hear enough of that. If you put them end to end, they would go to New York from New York to California stuff. They used to do like every 20 minutes, you'd be watching a show. They say that in a man's life, he can eat enough pasta that put end to end, it will stretch from here to, or there's enough concrete and Hoover Dam to build a 2-lane highway from here to. I'm not hearing enough of that. I'm worried that kids aren't getting enough of it either. Enough of that just bizarre inane, here's the highway we could build, or if we put end-to-end, or if we took the materials from and stretched them to the moon, or to, it's either to the moon or New York, and I guess if you live in New York, it's to L.A. or the moon.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have their own planet. Not hearing enough of that. Like someone to work that back into the lexicon.
Soufflés and end-to-end, these are the things.
We'll be back.
Yes.
Loveline, we'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's my good partner over there, Dr.
Gorgeous.
Drew. Let's hop back to the phones and speak to Kimmy, who's 23.
And by the way, hang on, Kimmy. I not heard of the Crocodile Hunter 18 months ago.
Oh, we were talking about the Crocodile Hunter on Animal Planet and how Drew's kids are crazy for him. And I was saying how kids are going to all grow up and be able to have that phony Australian accent.
Gorgeous.
Go ahead, Kimmy.
Hi. I was calling to ask Dr. Drew's opinions and views on people who are polyamorous.
Be a little more specific about your situation. What's going on? I'm sorry.
People that can fall in
love. No. You. What's up with you?
Oh, me? Mm-hmm. I'm married, mm-hmm. and I have girlfriends.
So are you a lesbian?
No, I'm bisexual.
You're bisexual. And does your husband know about these girlfriends?
Oh, yes, of course. We're completely open with each other.
Does he have boyfriends or girlfriends?
No, he's not really interested in that.
Well, now, hold on a second. Can you be polyamorous alone, or does the relationship, what is that? Is that like swinging, or are you bisexual?
She said bisexual, yeah.
I know, but what is the definition of polyamorous? I mean,
people who can fall in love with more than one person at the same time?
All right, who can't do that?
You can't do that?
Anyone can do that. It's easy.
If you open yourself up to that. The problem is the way intimacy is, you really detract from the primary intimacy if you include other people into it.
Well, you got to look this way. You only got so much to go around. That, so if you, you end up splitting it.
That's basically right.
No, we have our my relationships with my girlfriends, who are usually my submissives.
There's the key word. Someone just rang a cowbell. An imaginary cowbell in this room, and here are my submissives. You don't have any kids, Polly Holly, do you?
No.
Okay.
Good.
Until I get out of my, until we get out of our wild ways, there's no reason to bring children into it.
There you go.
Excellent. I suspect your husband's up to something more than you think. He may be an addict. What, is he do drugs or alcohol or anything?
Oh, no. No, he drinks socially, but no. We're very straight people as far as, pardon the pun, as far as, you know, drinking and drugs. We don't do that anymore. We had our fun back when we were young, but, you know,
what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, when we were younger, because we met in summer school, and when we were younger, we used to drink and do drugs together and stuff.
Okay.
But then we both kind of grew out of it.
What drugs?
Oh, gosh. He only did pot. I did. All right. I tried just about everything.
Did you do heroin?
Oh, no. That was a big no-no.
Wait, so my balls are polypanemous right now. is it Kimmy?
Yes?
Anything ever happened to you growing up?
Yes, of course.
Anything as far as, like,
no, any kind
sexually
of abuse.
Molested?
Just trauma.
Just trauma.
Well, I was raped when I was 15.
Mm. Oh, before
what
that?
About, before that?
Before that, no. The only thing I can think of that would even have any bearing on this is that I started to be sexually active when I was in the second grade.
And who did that to you?
Me and my best friend.
Mm-hmm. Had she been sexually abused?
I honestly don't know.
I would bet money on it. And the child-on-child sexual abuse is a very common kind of sexual abuse.
All right. Well, look, here's the deal. Kimmy, I have your kicks. Fine. A little therapy wouldn't hurt, you know?
This is a lot of therapy. A
lot of therapy wouldn't hurt.
I suspect also somebody must have sort of hyper-stimulated you growing up. Somebody hit you or something.
Well, my father was very verbally abusive to us.
Okay.
But my mother was too much of... She was too protective of us to let him ever physically hurt us.
Okay. Did anybody ever?
Well, look. What about just growing up scared of a man who you know is your dad? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the submissive stuff. Somebody got through.
Listen, Kimmy.
Yes.
You go out and get yourself a super tanker full of therapy. And then, work out a few things and have your kicks. And then you have your kids after that, right?
Yes.
All right, good times, baby.
All right, thanks.
But listen, there's nothing wrong with a little acting out, but you gotta work it out, too. You can do both.
Work it out?
Yeah.
Yeah, acting out doesn't get you anywhere.
You got energy. Yeah. You're going to be poly whatever into your 50s.
Yeah, acting out is just an expression of what's going wrong inside. It doesn't change or grow what's going on inside. And a husband, I think you're going to find as an addict, he's up to something you don't know about. Just believe me.
Monique? Well, Monique, you're 32.
I'm 32.
What's up?
Well, actually, I have two questions. First of all, Adam, when you start to make your movie, I want a crew. I'm a film major, and I'd love to crew on your movie.
I didn't know what crew was. But,
well, anything. I'll carry out the trash. I don't care.
Sure, all right. You can start by getting me a cup of goddamn coffee.
A cup of coffee would be excellent.
There you go. Thank you.
So, my real question is, though, I had my tubes tied, and I wonder, I kind of lost my sexual drive briefly, but then I went away for 2 weeks, and when I came back, it just kind of came back, but I didn't know if this was temporary because I'd been gone for 2 weeks, or if this is really affecting
libido. Where'd you go for 2 weeks?
I went to the CSU Summer Arts Program.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And did they give you any medications before or after this?
No, no medications. I don't even take aspirin.
You weren't on the pill or anything before you?
Nope. Had two children completely without any, no.
Anesthetic?
Nothing.
Okay.
They didn't give you any anesthetic for the procedure?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. All right, listen, Earth Mom. Monique's a nice woman. I just want to get to the next call. That'll happen from time to time. Look, I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure after having a procedure that involves your reproduction and your vagina and all that good stuff, as a woman especially, it's going to affect your sex drive.
It usually doesn't, but I suppose it could. And,
but the point is,
she's
you're back now.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Drop it off again. Javier?
Yeah, hello?
You're 14.
Yeah.
Oh, well, didn't we talk to Javier?
No, we couldn't get to him.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Javier? Real fast.
Yeah, what's up? Hey, I don't know whether to tell my girlfriend I love her or not.
You don't know whether to or how to?
Whether to.
Do you love her?
I don't know if I'm in love with the whole idea of being in love or
he's
in love
like
with
you,
her.
Adam. He's in love with the idea of love.
Like,
no, he's just
like,
making that up.
I feel like, you know, like being with her, you know?
You do like being with her.
I do.
But he can't tell if it's her or just his feelings.
I don't want to scare her off.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you been with her?
About a year, 4 months.
I think you can tell her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you love her. She's waiting.
Yeah,
all right.
That's fine.
Tell her you love her. It'll be good for her. It'll make her feel good about herself. And
okay.
might get you laid, too.
All right.
All right. But don't get anyone pregnant, Javier.
I'll try not to.
You realize if your name is Javier, you have a 80% higher likelihood of getting someone pregnant before your 18th birthday.
That's nice.
I just read a study on that, all right?
Okay.
Especially right, those
especially coming from the North Hills.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Guys like you, Adam, too, they're in love with the idea of being in love.
Steep valley, baby.
Ooh. All right.
All right. No man's land out there. Move out of that North Hills as soon as you can.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Javier.
All right.
Take care. Tell her you love her. Enjoy. Look, tell everyone you love them. Uh-oh. Ball sack's hurting.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what all the impatience about.
What kind of pain can
drink
I
this one.
Can I get on? You got any painkillers in the car?
Drink this one, maybe.
Should you keep something in the car?
Not with you around.
As a woodworker, I keep a tape measure in my car. I really do.
Yeah, but if you drove to your friend's house every night who had tremendous needs in their house, you'd empty that car.
All right. We'll be back. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Well, there you have it. Another fan favorite episode of Loveline in the ground.
And this is about as close to a history lesson as we're going to give on this show, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm on my fourth bottle of water, and I'm going to pee out my right nut in a second. Is that possible? It's floating in my sack.
Good. That's what I wanted.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little extended 22-hour break. Afro Man will be in here tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.